B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub Headlines.
The Celtics are now three games under 500 and falling fast after another stake-through-the-heart loss, 108-105 to the Knicks at Madison Square Garden last night. This time, Ime Udoka's team let a 25-point lead get away and lost on an R.J. Barrett-contested bank shot three at the buzzer.
Message was short and sweet. It wasn't about the last play again. It was everything leading up to it. And we need some leadership, somebody that can calm us down and not get rattled when everything starts to go a little south.
Former Celtic Evan Fournier hit 10 threes and scored a career-high 41 points for the Knicks. Jason Tatum, 36 for the Celtics. These two teams play again at TD Garden tomorrow night. Bruins lost as well, 3-2 to Minnesota at the Garden. Taylor Hall and Brad Marchand scored power play goals in the loss that ended a three-game winning streak. The next game much tougher tomorrow night on the road against Tampa Bay. Bruins have also signed Tuukka Rask to a professional tryout agreement with Providence. The plan was to have Tuukka play there tonight. Night and Sunday against Lehigh Valley, but both games were canceled by the AHL yesterday over COVID concerns, and the Patriots are missing Kyle Duggar again at practice yesterday as they continue to get ready for their final regular season game on the road against Miami, and Tampa Bay has released wideout Antonio Brown. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. Visit the Nines every Sunday for Football Frenzy. Enjoy great dining deals like $5.99 full-size appetizers and 59-cent bone-in wings. The 99, always the real deal. I'm John Wallach of Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 8:30.
Make your smart speaker sports smart.
Of course they're saying goblins. It could be nothing else.
Listen to the Sports Hub anywhere on Alexa or your Google smart speaker.
Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them.
Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
But you're rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I said, what are you doing running? And you're saying it was really good out?
It's the perfect texture for running. Very low impact on its dry snow so your feet don't get wet.
Yes. Stay warm.
All right, thanks. We've seen a lot of people out here, like you said, running, sledding, just enjoying it. One thing, oops, that can happen, unfortunately. Looks like Chelsea's okay. You okay? Yes, okay.
Snow that doesn't get your feet wet. Just go out with no shoes on you. Not wet at all.
I actually felt really, really bad for Chelsea. Because it was one of those where she falls. And listen, it's slipping on ice just sucks. I mean, no bracing. And she falls. And the camera, like, almost follows her walking away. It's like, all right.
Her pride. Her dignity out the window. But, yeah, you know, but that's not a clip unless she's out there, you know, philosophizing on the dry snow and how, you know, this is the perfect snow to run on. Shut up. It's snow.
It doesn't
It's frozen water.
It doesn't seem low impact when you fall on your back like that.
Yeah.
You're not slushing around in 6 feet of snow. You're falling on your ass on all that wonderful dry snow that you've just praised.
Well, Fred, this is truly the Super Bowl for local news. As we know, it's, you know, every channel you turn it on and it's
Snowmageddon.
Everywhere you go, it's like they've started. I mean, matter of fact, they're not even cutting into the big, like, morning shows. They're going completely live. And you see it all over the country. You know, there was the one guy, do you remember, who had the hoverboard that he was riding on that one time?
That's here.
Yeah. That was here. Yes, that's right. There was
in Boston.
Oh, my God.
Never to be heard from again.
I'm looking at Steve. Mike, look at Channel 7 right now.
Is that really happening?
I mean.
That's not really happening.
Steve Cooper is sitting in a beach chair.
You sure that's Channel 7?
That's Channel 7. Steve Cooper is sitting in a beach chair outside of Copley Square right now. He has... all right, we need to get to this.
All right, what's going on?
He's like pretending he's at the beach. He has like what looks like a little table next to him.
He's and pastel colors though,
and he's got snacks. So this
at
morning,
at what point if you're Steve Cooper, do you give up? Do you just go like it's never going to get any better? You're the same a-hole that sat in front of that radio station waiting for me to get fired, and here we are, 2022. And you're still doing the same pile of garbage. Where you dude, it's like the beach, but it's January, cold. It's like the beach. Hey, what do you do for a living? I'm the idiot that they make go outside. I said, I'm outside in the snow. You're all inside. And you're looking out at the snow. I'm in the snow. I'm on TV. Guy, if that guy makes $100,000, I'll chop off my foot.
All right, well, there seems to be a theme because we've been watching. First of all, I've been looking for Marshall Hook because I know he's out there. And every time there's snow, yeah, he's got the dash cam going.
I'll tell you what, you talk about me, but there's no one who bitches more on Facebook than Marshall Hook.
That's true. Small town politics will do that to a man.
But, I mean, it's a good point. He's bitching about being at work. He's bitching about politics. He's bitching about everything. That guy.
It's hard work to run a small town. It is.
He's bitching about everything. Maybe they figure enough people, since no one has to go to work or school anymore, in general, maybe they feel that it's kind of not necessary to have someone in a car.
Well, I have to say, this morning I've been watching all the channels, and there seems to be, right now, I'm just fixated on Channel 7 because there seems to be an ongoing theme on what's happening. Let's start with our good friend Steve Cooper, who I know you're a big fan of. The guy who was just sitting in a beach chair. I'm sorry, where was that? Medford Square? I thought it was Copley.
He's in Medford Square.
Okay. He's in Medford Square.
Tim Tebow was drafted how many years? 15 years ago? Yeah. And this moron is still, 11, 12, 13 years ago. And this moron's doing the same thing. Talk about hitting crashing into a brick wall with your career. Go ahead.
Okay, so it kind of starts off in this way. You know, Steve Cooper is standing outside of a business. We're not quite sure, but you'll find out by the end of it.
This is the sort of a light, fluffy snow. So people getting out this morning, there's going to be shoveling. There's going to be getting it off of the car before you hit the roads. People are asked to sort of take it easy out here.
Really?
Schools have been canceled across the region for so many kids. So that'll keep a lot of people off of the roads. But again, a lot of people are going to want to get out and enjoy a cup of coffee. So I think I'm going to head back inside. Reporting live in Medford, enjoying my hot chocolate this morning. Steve Cooper, 7 News, Today in New England. See ya.
Okay, that is what a third grader would say. You know, it's snow out, so you're probably going to have to, you know, clean it off your car because it's snow. And you can't drive with it on your car. So you're going to have to clean it out. And, you know, some schools have been canceled, so there are not going to be as many people because of the canceled school on the road.
That's a guy who didn't read the book doing the book report.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the most obvious crap. And they want you to take it easy out there. So, you know, usually they want you to go real fast, but not today on account of the snow.
There's the hook. I'm seeing it right now. Marshall at the 7 News Snow Tracker.
Is in Burlington?
Yeah. So after that was done, you know, they put a big camera up to the business he was going into, and he holds up the coffee, you know, prominently and, like, winks at the camera. And, just moments later on Channel 7, I'm starting to notice that there is a theme here.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I just need to note, I heard Brandon say Steve Cooper picked a good spot. I picked a good spot because I am by the Chick-fil-A. When I saw this morning that I was going to be down at Copley Square, I was so excited because even though we don't know which area has the jackpot of snow, I feel like I hit the jackpot with this sandwich. So we're going to take a little bite here, keep ourselves warm on a nice cold day. Garve.
The trash?
It is so good. Okay, I'm going to stay warm while I eat this, but I am going to show you the snow here outside. Take a look. We've got some roadways here.
All
where the snow
Chick-fil-A's
is starting
that are
to build
open
up,
at
so
6
school
in the morning.
School is canceled in Boston, so we have a lot of happy kids this morning. I'm just going to continue eating my Chick-fil-A this morning. But again,
Juliana, you definitely have Steve Cooper beat. We are jealous right now. We want some chicken.
Yeah, everyone all does right. at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
I just got this chicken out of the trash. I couldn't be happier to be by the trash bin by the Chick-fil-A that's not open. Because a lot of people don't finish their Chick-fil-A. And I'm able to just go in and grab all the half-eaten sandwiches I want.
Just elbow Eddie Money in the nose.
I figured out, and you know you got a ton of credibility when you're doing product placement during your news report. That's when you know you're Edward R. Murrow over there. You're just a real, real champion of the news.
Well, then they go back
to quote-unquote news.
Well, then they go back
to snow.
Steve Cooper is once again back outside, except this time, just off camera, is a certain something that he has that's reveals at the end of this clip.
Through the square here, they're encouraging people that are headed out today to kind of grab the tea and use that as well. And boy, that was an awful lot of exhausting work here. I really need to take a little bit of a break. And we will. We're live in Medford Square this morning.
Bless up little
Nothing
Debbie's.
On my face, right? Steve Cooper, 7 News, today in New England.
Always prepared.
It's exhausting out
Always
here.
Always prepared.
I was going to say, he's got to put in the work. He's got to burn the calories from all the food he's eating this
he
morning.
He deserves it. He's earned those donuts.
So he prominently holds up a bunch of Little Debbie's donuts and like shows it to the camera and then starts snacking.
Yeah. Well, the Little Debbie Corporation is obviously notorious for its product placement. How many businesses had to turn you down before you got the Little Debbie?
Big donut.
I'm here with Tito's Pizza's rolls.
The Hot Pockets people turned him down.
Just like the Chick-fil-A. All the Chick-fil-A's at 6:30 that are bustling. I got my chicken sandwich at the Chick-fil-A. It's not open.
Right. I'm here with Underwood Deviled Ham.
Swanson. I'm here for with Beefaroni, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I'll tell you what.
I don't know what.
We're jealous of him. He's got a whole mess of Beefaroni.
On Channel 7, I have the clips here. I don't even need to play them. There's one guy who's like doing a newscast. And you know what? So this guy's doing a newscast, and all of a sudden he looks to the top of his car, and there's a box of Hostess Twinkies sitting there for him.
Oh, well, Little Debbie can't like that.
No,
behind me is Route 24. You know, I just saw an 18-wheeler come through here, tailgating the car in front of him. I don't know why you would do that in these conditions.
Because,
Narc. Yeah, you can go, especially if you have four-wheel drive, but you can't stop. So here comes an 18-wheeler through the frame right now. So just be careful out here. The state police are advising you to take it slow. I don't know what's happened here, but I guess Steve Cooper came through and left these for us. I know he's in the Medford area, but I'm not sure I believe it.
All right. So, and then they close up on a big Burger King sign right behind him as well.
Yeah. Wow. How novel. I just like that news report, too. And here comes a truck. Vroom. And there before that, there was a car that was real close to another car. And that's not good. Hi, I'm out here on the road. Trucks are big and go vroom. I mean, what? This is your job. If anyone is over the age of 25 doing this, you're a complete abject failure. Your TV career is zero.
You know what? I have to be honest. I'm very proud of the other networks because I've been watching, like, you know, BZ and Five and other ones. Like, there must have been a point where I don't know if it was just the head of news or just all the reporters when they were asked to do the thing where you have to stand on the top of the snow pile and, like, you know, like slide down it, where they all just went, no.
Yeah.
We're not going to. But Seven just went all in. They said, Coop, you just go out there and pretend you're at the beach. Just
it's going to be real funny. It's like I'm at the beach, but no, there's snow instead. It's January and there's snow.
I mean,
the reports are outstanding. You're gonna want to. It's fluffy, so you're gonna want to get it off your car before you leave, because you can't see out a window with a lot of fluffy snow on it. And the police are saying not to go real fast on the account of the snow. Like, it's brain injury reporting. I'm at the Burger King, and there's a truck. I mean, I'm not exaggerating.
No, that's what I'm saying.
And I don't know. I'm not sure what's happening here, but there's a truck. And there it goes. It's on the road. I mean, what is your job?
And there's snow. It's in the sky right now, and it's falling.
It's falling.
If you had a shovel, you could pick up the snow and move it to a different place, or there wouldn't be as much snow.
Well, you're going to have to do that if you want to drive your car, because you can't drive your car with the snow on it on the account of seeing. Can't see through it.
Marshall, let's go to Marshall. Well, I'm driving in a car and there's snow on this road right now. And if you look in front of me, there's a truck. And to my right, there's another car. We're going really slow.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing. It's amazing the ground you can cover in 4 hours.
Well, you know what, though? There's part of me that sympathizes because I'm like, man, they got to fill up all this time with snow talk. But the other networks aren't resorting to that. They all seem to do a pretty good job.
They're under no obligation to talk about the snow for 4 hours, believe me.
But I guarantee you they're getting the ratings are huge.
Right. No, I know. I get it. I get that people tune into local news for weather. Essentially, that's all they do. That's the only reason they do tune into local news is weather. But and I understand this is all going to end at noon, so you gotta milk every precious moment out of it.
Okay, Fred, I want you to ring a bell. Just, you know, ring a bell every time you hear an obvious statement in this 30-second report.
This is the sort of a light, fluffy snow, so people getting out this morning, there's going to be shoveling, there's going to be getting it off of the car before you hit the roads.
Ding.
People are asked to sort of take it easy out
Ding.
Here. Schools have been canceled
Ding.
Across the region for so many kids, so that'll keep a lot of people
so
off of the
many
roads.
Kids.
But again, a lot of people are going to want to get out and enjoy
so
a cup of coffee,
kids.
So I think I'm going to head back inside. Reporting live in Medford, enjoying my hot chocolate this morning, Steve Cooper, 7 News, Today in New England. See ya.
He's got a drink of a brain-dead idiot, too. Chocolate. Hot chocolate. You and every moron, other moron. give me a break.
Well, at least he's not on top of the salt pile. That was part of the agreement.
At least acknowledge how dumb it is. Like, don't sit there and just spew that garbage. Like, at least have some fun with it and acknowledge how dumb it is.
Yeah, like, how many more times can I say that it's snowing? Look at it. There's a lot of it.
Like, guys, you know, there's snow. It's falling at a great clip. Like, you know, and I'm out here, you know.
It's a ruler. I'm going to dunk this in a snowbank.
Yeah,
see?
Like, at no point did he say, you know, what they're saying is it's changed from an expectation of 6 inches to 8 inches, and they believe it's going to taper off at 11 o'clock. Like, that's real news.
Right.
That's real observation. Not, you know, you might have to take the snow off your windshield before driving.
Yeah, and then a lot of kids don't have school. A lot of them. Well, how many? Who, Steve? Like, how about an example of who doesn't have school?
A bajillion.
Just a lot. Yeah, probably like a lot. You know, I'd think probably if you're asking, and if they're gonna make you stand out there, like at least know how goofy it is and how dumb it is. Boy, he sucks. I'm out here in front of CBS Radio. And they're going to fire this guy at 6 in the morning. I'm going to be right here outside when they fire him. I'm going to be right in the traffic median in the middle of Leo and Birmingham Parkway on the grass. So when they fire him, I'll be within 100 yards of the radio station.
That is an old wound that will never heal.
I remember I asked Tangway, I'm like, why is this the one station? They were the only station. The only station that bothered with it. And not only did they bother with it, there was a point I got in trouble for making fun of Tim Tebow, and it was like, you know, some lunatic on CNN got mad at me, but like locally, it was not in the paper. It was nothing but Channel 7. Channel 7 just and devoted 24 hours of programming to the point where they had Steve Cooper in the medium on the grass in front of our radio station for the entire morning. To see, like, with the expectation I was going to get fired, which they all hoped for, obviously. And every time that's on TV, every time you're in trouble when it's on TV, it magnifies everything 1,000 times. It makes everything 1,000 times worse. So, yes, I don't like anyone at Channel 7, except for Marshall Hook, and I don't like the way they treat him. He's always very upset on Facebook.
Yes, he is. He's an angry man.
Yeah.
He absolutely is. He's angrier than me. I'll give him that.
All right, Fred. When we get back, we have a lot more information about Antonio Brown. And last night, there was a gift that was given to all of us. When you thought that things couldn't get any more absurd, we went next level, and it involves voicemails from Antonio Brown. We have audio as well.
I look forward to hearing that. We will have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Everything seems slow.
Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You can't force a player to play. You can't force a player to play. I mean, they have that choice. It's their body. And he decided to play. He and Mike both were on pitch counts. We were trying to manage that as best we could in the first half. He participated in Saturday walkthrough like he was going, so... There was never another question about it.
Bruce, when he was rehabbing, but it sounded like you hadn't seen him. Was he wasn't with Alex Guerrero because he fired him on Christmas Eve. So was he doing his own thing with a trainer someplace else outside of the building?
I wasn't in last week, but that would be normal.
Bruce, how hurt are you by this, that you're the only organization to step up and willing to take him in a year and a half ago? But the allegations that he's throwing at you guys, how hurt are you by this?
Yeah, I'm hurt. But, I mean, I just still wish the best for him. Just get the help you need.
In terms of not making a move these last 3 days, is that just you, the team, trying to avoid all this coming out in part of
it? Was just, with the league and what you can do, what you can't do. I mean, that's all the lawyers and the league office, with Jason. So I don't have any part of that.
What do you say to the team? What do you address the team with?
Our team is great. Our team knows the truth. They know what happened. Our guys are fine. They're ready to play Carolina.
All right, we're Dutcher and Rich. Antonio Brown is no longer on an NFL team as he pushed the Buccaneers to finally make it official and release him. And, Rich, we were getting, during the show yesterday, a lot of fun stuff from the Antonio Brown camp, including his checking and routing, banking and routing numbers.
That's insane. Like, and that thing lasted, 15 minutes? He had been talking about how Alex Guerrero, he was like, hey, Alex, listen, you mind giving me a refund for half of my $100,000 that I paid you because I'm not going to be using your services anymore? And Alex Guerrero was very nice about it. And I was like, sure, just, let me know where to send it. And he accidentally tweeted out his banking number and the routing as well. So anyone who wanted to buy anything could have just used Antonio Brown's checking account and essentially order what they wanted. I honestly wonder how much money he lost by doing that, by putting that out into the universe. Because someone had to have taken advantage, wouldn't you think?
Of course. Yeah, because it's not even, like, with the social, I would, like, if you gave me someone's social security number, I wouldn't know what to do with it because it's just one piece of information when you would need other stuff. But if you give me someone's banking number and routing number, I can just go on PayPal and buy stuff.
Yeah, no question.
Like, so, I mean, I could, I would know how to use that myself.
Yeah.
I would know how to use the money. So
we thought that yesterday it wasn't going to get much weirder. And then came a story about what happened the night before he went nuts. And what's fantastic is that the headline is just fantastic. This is from the Daily Mail, who's for some reason the Daily Mail, even though it's a British paper, has all the best like American gossip. It says exclusive. Fired Buck star Antonio Brown smuggled OnlyFans model who went viral for licking a toilet seat in 2020 into his hotel for a steamy romp and told her to watch, quote, what I do tomorrow, the night before he stormed off the field. So this woman's name is Ava Louise. She's 23 years old. She's one of these Instagram people. And when she did indeed get famous for licking a toilet when the whole coronavirus started, because it was the coronavirus challenge, which obviously means that she is a lady of dignified tastes. She's,
I mean, if what about you? What do you want, a dollar every time you lick a toilet seat? I mean, every time I made the lick a toilet seat by my mistress or whoever else might be doing the ordering, I don't ask for any compensation.
So apparently the night that they were staying in Jersey before the game where he stormed off the field, This woman has provided some of the text messages that Antonio Brown sent. And at 8:12 a.m., I love it how he – I guess they had started talking back and forth on Instagram and had never really met each other. But then out of nowhere, he starts texting her. And first of all, the first text is from him, and it just says, A.B. That's it. Just his initials.
Yeah, A.B.
Yep.
Yes.
And she responds with, hi, what's up? And he writes back, you in NYC? And he says, I am. Lol, where are you at? And he said, Weston, New Jersey, Bay. And she said, where is that? And he texts back a map of where it is. And she puts, oh, you're close to me. I'm going out with my friends for a little bit after. And he put, come put me to bed. Got to be up early, Bay. And she says, ugh, that's lame. And he writes, what you want to do, babe? I got game tomorrow. Tell me. Let your friends know you gone. Get right before y'all go on out after. She says, I can't come till later. We're already like going out the door. And he says, gone after game tomorrow. Okay, have fun. And he puts a blue cap. I don't know what that means. Blue cap means truth. Isn't that right? Like someone's telling the truth. And she puts, should have let me know earlier. And he goes, no worries. Just stay off Instagram. Blue cap. And she writes, why are you being like this? And he says, just wanted to see y'all been all talk online. And she says, I know I want to see you, but I can't do it until later. And he goes, come on, baby. I'll be ready for you. Am I must see you or, she writes, okay, what did you say? I'll come at like one probably. And so at that point, he starts leaving voice memos. You know how like you can text somebody your voice?
Yeah.
And here's the first voice memo from Antonio Brown to this girl.
I said, I want to see you. I want to see you in that butterfly stance and come get a bonus. Could we do that? I don't know. Or should I go to sleep?
All right, come get a bonus.
And I want to see you in that butterfly stance.
I know buffalo stance, but I need a cherry.
I was thinking about the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we always end up in a buffalo stance. Is a butterfly stance, is that with your legs? Like your knees by your head, your ears?
I don't know.
All I know is that it's, I like that seductive talk. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that blue cap apparently means he's suspicious or she's lying. So he's calling her out for
that. Oh, so it's the opposite. It's not the truth.
Yeah, it's not the truth. It's blue cap. Like, there's something suspect, as the kids would say, with sus. Like in Among Us type reference. So she gets another voice text from Antonio Brown.
No, I love to see you. I'm in Jersey at the Western. It's sexy. Come get a bonus. You gonna come see me if I stay up, baby? Got some money for you. Come get in that fraud position for me, you all right?
Okay, so I asked Mike, I said, come get that bonus. Is this some term that I obviously have no idea?
No, he said, I have some money for you. He says it in that clip.
Yeah, no, that's he's paying her.
Okay, so he's thinking, I'm going to pay you to come over here.
Yeah.
Come get that bonus. All right.
You think that the toilet seat lady that is going to just go over there for free?
Well, she's taken pictures in Rolls Royces before, so she's obviously already loaded.
Right.
I mean, listen, if you're going to, if you're willing to go lick a toilet seat, I mean.
Yeah.
You need to be paid for your time.
Yeah, this is a light snack for the toilet seat lady.
So, and by the way.
So I like how, like, desperate he is for this hooker to, like, come over to his house. Like, get another hooker. You're in Jersey. Get on the internet. Go to Eros.com.
But he's a romantic. He wants to give this girl that bonus.
Well, I mean, it would be hard to find another girl who licks toilet seats, in fairness.
So apparently she ends up getting to the hotel, and he texts her saying that he has to come down and get her to, like, hide her because she's, like, there's all these different COVID protocols where players aren't allowed to see somebody from the outside while they're at the hotel, smuggles her up to the room. She gets up there, and he asks her to film them hooking up and wants her to put it on her Instagram. Like, he wants to basically have a sex tape of the two of them together so the world will know about it. And she says, no, I'm not going to do that.
Well, she'd get kicked off Instagram, and then her career would be over.
Well, I mean, then who is she? Right. She would just disappear into the world.
She would have to lick toilet seats and just take, like, film pictures of them and put them on lampposts.
Sure. And then that would be the end of her.
She would just have to make a million flyers at Kinko's of her licking toilet seats.
Sure. So at one point, he tells her, just wait till I do tomorrow. Wait till I do tomorrow. And, insinuating that he had planned the entire time that he was going to do something that was completely over the top about that. So after he ended up going nuts, well, she ended up leaving. They were only there for like 2 hours or something like that. And then she left. I wonder what they did. So apparently she says, texts him and says, "Bay, why are you running off the field?" And he texts back, "Why see me?" And she put, "Yeah, yes, I saw, but why? You look sexy doing it." And he just texts it back, "You saw me, baby?" And he put, "Well, of course I did," she says. "Why did you do that?"
It was on television, locally.
Yes, I think,
you were playing the Jets.
Most people indeed saw that. And then after that, it was all done with, and she goes to the Daily Mail and ends up saying that the reason that she's being paid to give them all this information was because she cares for them, and she thinks bad things.
Of course. I mean, you would expect more from the toilet-licking, seat-licking lady than her to go to the Daily Mail with all this dirty laundry.
Thoughts and prayers for the toilet seat lady.
I mean, you would expect a modicum of discreetness.
Sure.
I mean, you got to be a little discreet when you're the toilet seat lady.
But then last night after that...
What is the size of this woman's ass? Is she a big woman?
No, she shockingly is not. She is not. She's like a normal-sized woman. I mean, normal.
Is she attractive?
Yeah, she's cute. I mean, yeah, okay. she's obviously good-looking, but...
Well, I don't know. Sometimes it's not like the kielbasa queen was from the Stern Show was really pretty. I mean, sometimes when you have to resort to the stunts... You're like the less attractive porn girls are oftentimes to make money, you have to do some things that might not be the more attractive ones want to do.
It's a way to get noticed. Attention.
Now, something that after that story did indeed come out, she posted on her Instagram a thing that showed a positive coronavirus test, and it said, "Hey, Bucks, test your players."
Well, how do you know she didn't get that from the toilets?
I don't know. So she posted that last night.
Well, it could be from no one but Antonio Brown. I mean,
sure.
I mean, who else? This woman, obviously.
That's a good point. That might have been stop number four for her on the evening. That's a good point.
Exactly. Like, I'm on Antonio Brown's side on this one. Wow, he was that into this chick, huh?
Yeah, she posted, "Buccaneers test your team," after putting a positive test online on Instagram after she had hooked up with him.
So here's the deal, though. If you're this woman, like, now if I'm famous, there's no way I'm ever hooking up. That's what I've never understood about this, is that now, like, if I'm famous, I'm never hooking up with you.
But he wanted her to film them, like, hooking up and then put it online.
But if I'm paying for sex and I'm famous, I mean, regardless, just the idea that for whatever reason she would talk to anyone, because the main reason I'm paying you is so no one finds out. So, I mean, I never understand when these women go to the press. I mean, I understand that she's very concerned for him and that her story of being the toilet seat licking lady and getting paid to have sex with him will solve everything. But in all seriousness, like, I don't, like forever now, I would never hook up with you. Like, I would, like, once Lisa Ann put all those pictures up of having sex with that kid from Notre Dame, I'd be like, well, I'd never have sex with Lisa Ann.
Well, she said when we hooked up, he wanted to film it and make a tape on my phone. He wanted me to put it out there. She said, I looked at him and I'm like, are you being serious right now? He was like, again, I'm like, you're Antonio Brown. Why would you want that scandal? But he wanted to create that. I think it was purposeful considering how he'd been acting in the media. He wants that controversy. He wants this attached to his name.
It was all thought through.
She added, he knows I have an OnlyFans. He told me, let's make a tape for OnlyFans. Obviously, I'm not putting it out there right now, but that's pretty crazy, which means that she's got one. They said after they hooked up, Louise and Brown had asked her to stay, but she decided not to after he revealed he had an early meeting with Tom Brady planned at 7 a.m. She's told how he fretted to her about making another Super Bowl and mumbled as he drifted in and out of sleep before they left. She said he wanted me to sleep over. He told me I could sleep over, but he would have to sneak me out before that Tom Brady meeting. So, I mean, I guess that he was, like, mumbling all over the place, which, yeah, I mean, listen, if he gives me, I want that. But I wonder if she got that bonus. Did she indeed get the bonus?
Well, yeah, and she obviously is not going to spend the night. That's extra. This woman reeks of class and sophistication. and I don't know of all the women in the world, because I just looked up her picture, of all the women in the world, this is the one that he wanted. This is the one that he chose. It's shocking that she went to the press. All right. Well, Antonio Brown, very, very, very into prostitution. All right.
So what said he's been listening to Al Cole a little bit too much.
Oh, well, Al Cole.
Hey, it's syndicated radio talk show host, singer, and now author to Al Cole.
Al Cole paid you with his soul.
Yes, he did.
Because he gave
wish.
You. He paid you by giving you his all, unveiling and listening to everything.
You are my firefly.
Yeah, like Al Cole ever paid for sex, please. He oftentimes women would just throw money at him and he would be like, no, baby.
Whoa, Dad.
All right. We will be back in just a moment.
Sports Hub headlines.
Bruins lost to Minnesota at TD Garden last night, 3-2. Massachusetts native Matthew Boldy scored his first career NHL goal in the third period, and it turned out to be the game winner for the Wild. Taylor Hall and Brad Marchand each scored once for the Bruins. Celtics blew a 25-point lead and lost to the Knicks 108-105. RJ Barrett, a bank shot three at the buzzer to give the Knicks the win. These two teams back at it at TD Garden tomorrow night. Patriots without Kyle Duggar again at practice yesterday. They visit Miami Sunday in their final regular season game. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by the Wilbur. Comedian Colin Quinn is back at the Wilbur for one night only. See Colin Quinn, the Last Best Hope Tour, Thursday, January 13th. For tickets and info, visit thewilbur.com. I'm John Wallach of Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 9 o'clock.
Country Rich, 98.5 The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They get you going.
In fairness, we have to make up for not watching the game.
Every day.
I might watch a baking show.
Toucher and Rich.
What do you expect me to do? Watch every basketball game?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. That is mustard plug, but I'm not sure.
You know what? I don't know. I know I put this in a while back, and I forget who it is. I'm not quite sure.
I don't know.
Sounds like madness to me.
Yeah, well, it sounds like music to lick toilet seats by.
Mike says it could be Skanking to the Beat by Fishbone.
Oh, okay. All right, that is Fishbone. I remember that putting that in now. Yes, that is Fishbone.
That is around the era that I saw them open up for the Beastie Boys on the License to Ill tour, and they were absolutely terrible. And then they turned out to be one of the best live bands I've ever seen.
Yep.
But it in the top three. And it's funny, two of the top three bands I've ever seen live are ska bands.
Really?
Skankin' Pickle is the best band I've ever seen live.
Skankin' Pickle is the best live band?
The best. I saw them in Orlando when I was in college, and it's the best band I've ever seen live.
I know this is such a dumb question, but what did they do that what made it a great live show? Like, what was it
like
about
the,
it?
Like, energy was, like, out of, like, it was, like, insanity.
Sure. It's like a party. Like, that ska bands are built to feel like you're at a party, you know, almost, when you see them live.
Yeah, and they, like, played cover songs and, like, did them in a weird way. Like, it was fun. And then Fishbone, who I've seen on several occasions, are but then the last time I saw Fishbone, they sucked too. But they were having a problem, and it was outdoors, and they were having problems with their equipment. But two of the top, Skankin' Pickle is the best band I've ever seen live. But I'm not a musician, though, so I don't, like, if I went and saw, like, Yes, Like, you know, like I wouldn't be able to like lose myself in like the tone of like, you know, like the sweet live tone. Like I wouldn't.
That doesn't matter. Like that's the thing is that, you know, it's like it's just whatever, you know, whatever moves you and whatever makes you happy. It's like I've seen shows that I thought were amazing. And like the band didn't do much. I remember it just was transformative because the music was so different than anything I had heard. The first time I saw Helmet was like that. And I remember going there and just being like, they don't like jump around or go crazy. It was just like, I had heard nothing like that before in my life.
But had you ever heard Helmet before?
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, like, okay. I had heard them and like it was one thing to hear them like, you know, on an album. And then to see them live and it was just pure destruction with no BS. Like there was no jacking around between songs. There was no, and a lot of people like that, and I do. Certain bands I love it. It's certain bands my favorite part of it. Like when you go see Kiss, obviously it's the best part of it. But like it was just the purest form of metal I had ever seen in my life. Uncut, yeah. Unfiltered, right there by four guys who are amazing musicians who looked like me. Like, for the first time, I was like, this band looks like me. Like, I'm like a normal guy, and they don't have to have long hair or tattoos. They look like somebody who, you know, probably just lived the same life that I did. And that's, and it just showed me that anyone could play metal at that point.
Yeah, it's, and there's something to be said when you go to a show and you've never heard the band before, and you liked them. I remember I saw Alkaline Trio open up for Johnny Sacco and MU330. So I saw Alkaline Trio at that 537 club, whatever that club in Atlanta was. I don't know, it's probably not even around anymore, but it used to be in Little Five Points. They had like a refrigerator that they sold beer out of.
Star Bar.
No. Way okay. smaller. Okay. Way, 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 way smaller. Way smaller.
Oh, okay.
It was called like the 530. It was three numbers.
Okay.
And it was a punk club. It was like basically someone's basement. And I saw Alkaline Trio play there, and I was like, wow. And that first Alkaline Trio album, God Damn It, is very, very good, if you don't mind the language. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind that. But nonetheless, it is live music.
I remember seeing like the biggest ass-kicking I ever saw of an opening band just destroying the headliner was I went to go see Soundgarden, and it was on the Super Unknown tour. And not Super Unknown, it was the one after that, the Down on the Upside, I believe. And at that time, Soundgarden was fighting. Like, they weren't talking to each other. Apparently, they were taking separate buses, you know, every time they got there. And I went to go see them at this theater, and I couldn't have been more excited to see Soundgarden. I mean, that's one of those bands I just had always wanted to see, but they just had gotten past me. And I show up, and the opening band was the Reverend Horton Heat. Now, you know them. They're like that rockabilly thing.
Yeah.
They destroyed the place. They're like, as you said, like a ska band. When you go to see them, it's like a party show. Like, it's all right. About having a good time. They're standing on their big stand-up bases. The Reverend Horton Heat is going insane. You know, there's people flipping each other, like mosh pits. It was unbelievable. And then Soundgarden comes out. And the lights go down. The place goes crazy. Those four guys came out on stage and couldn't have moved an inch. They stood there. I mean, they opened up with Jesus Christ Pose, which is like one of the heaviest songs that they've ever written, and stood there as if they just wanted a paycheck and then left. And it wasn't even stood there in a cool way, because some bands could do that. It was in a, I hate being here, I can't wait to leave, no effort, and just walked off the stage. It was one of the most disappointing shows, and the Reverend Horton Heat at least ended up being, you know, for a while, a band that I loved just because of that show.
I saw the Reverend Horton. I've seen them a bunch of times. For some reason, I've dated girls that were like obsessed with Reverend Horton Heat, and I'd always maneuver myself to make sure that I was right in that you could not hear the bass. The stand-up bass is the most is the dumbest instrument of all time. It makes no noise. I don't care if you put 75 mics on it. It makes no noise. I mean, the guy, you know, has fun with it. He spins it around and like jumps up and down on it, but that thing doesn't make a peep. That thing doesn't make a peep.
John, when you saw Houdini open up for Shalimar, who was
it wasn't Houdini did not open up for Shalimar. All right. Houdini opened up for Run DMC. I told you that.
Okay.
Now I can tell you. I can tell you who opened up. Shalimar opened up for Midnight Star, who opened up for Kool & the Gang. That was the three that I told you, the all female group Climax opened up for all three of those.
Spelled K-L-Y-M-A-X-X, yes. If I'm not mistaken.
When the men
Climax
all pause.
With the K.
Yes. When the Men All Pause was their song. Yes.
So they had a song about menopause?
Yes, that's what
ooh,
it was.
Sexy.
I know.
Yeah,
when
like
the
my
men
eggs
all
don't work,
pause. Yep.
Feel free. You don't got to wear
I'm
rubber no more.
Yep.
You don't have to wear a rubber. I can't get pregnant.
That's right.
Blah, blah, blue, blue, blue.
At the Worcester Centrum.
And you know how that song Menopause, you know how it went? It went, thank you for being a friend. It was the theme to the Golden Girls.
Right.
The theme of the Golden Girls, you don't know. A lot of people just go, it's the theme of the Golden Girls. No, it's a song called Menopause. I love the way. What a sexy name for a song. My eggs don't drop. Bloop-de-doop-boop, no periods. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.